I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
There's no better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. For a limited time, get 15% off your next order by using the code PODCAST at checkout. Shop now at Baseballism.com or visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd. Baseballism is America's brand.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball with Grant and Danny. Interviews, analytics, and analysis on everything baseball in the nation's capital.
Bustin' Loose Baseball is on the air. Producer Darius Dameron making it sound good. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. And how about the Nats taking a series in Texas? The bats break out on Sunday. Juan Soto on base 5 times. Only Ted Williams has ever been on base 4 or more times in a game before the age of 24 than Juan Soto, who walked 4 times and had a single. That was a little more like it in Texas, Danny. That was easy to like.
A little bit of a hook reference here. There you are, Peter. That's him, spitting on stuff that's close. All great takes, good hitting position, not getting out of his stance, not trying to do too much with the swing. I think that tracer of a double to left center field just off the base of the wall, I can't remember what day that was. They all run together, whether it was Friday or Saturday, was a nice lock-in moment for him. Listen, he's going to go on a tear at some point. He's just too good not to. I understand the surrounding circumstances. You look at some of the metrics, the luck has been terrible. He's in the low 200s on batting average and balls in play. That stuff doesn't sustain itself. He's going to go on a nice little rip-roaring streak here. I think that was a really good sign.
Yeah, it certainly was. I'm just still picturing Juan Soto on his knees as Peter Pan and you being a lost boy and you poking and prodding at his cheeks and pulling back his face and taking off his glasses.
There you are, Peter.
There you are, Juan. There you are. But yeah, it was good to see the 4 walks. Jackson Tatro's on the pod today. Last 2 starts for him. So he was in Texas on Sunday, 4 hits over 6 innings of 1 earned ball. And then if you go back before that 1 week, he pitched against the Phillies in the heat of what was kind of the Nats at their worst. And he threw 7 innings of 6 hit, no run ball. So he's made 3 starts. I was at the first start. And I came away about as impressed as you can when someone gives up 9 hits and 7 runs. Because I was told the fastball velocity, which averaged around 90 a few years ago, is now up to close to 94 at this point. And he was touching 99 at Nationals Park. He was sitting 97, and he had a really nice slider. And the arm is lively, and the fastball jumps on you. So I kind of liked what I saw. That was a start, by the way, where he was called up and they were in a terrible situation in the bullpen. So despite getting knocked all over the place in his debut, they basically just asked him to wear it, stay on the hill, let this Braves team that at the time had won 13 straight games since has become the best team in baseball this month, you know, let them wear you out, basically. But after that, in these 2 outings now, 13 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts, 10 hits, and he's not missing a ton of bats. I don't know how sustainable it is that he's going to pitch at this ERA over these 2 starts, which is, you know, below 1. But it has been really, really good to see finally someone from the system come up and give you a spark, give you something. Something as a fan that's exciting. He's not a baby. He's 26 years old. But he's a big dude at 6'5". He looks the part. State College of Florida, drafted in the 7th round. It has been a long, long time since the Nats, we've talked about this, have drafted, developed, graduated a pitcher who turned into an actual fixture in their rotation, and I'm not sure that Tatro will, but to this point, it has been really, really cool to see finally one of these guys that isn't a household name, that isn't a top prospect. He wasn't even in the top 30 in a mediocre system, according to MLB Pipeline, get called up and have a little bit of success. Like, this kind of thing happens for other teams, Danny, all the time. It doesn't happen here enough. Like, the Braves just call these dudes up like Spencer Strider, and they're throwing 100 miles an hour and striking dudes out, and they're going seven innings at a time. I want my one time, like, to hit on the guy that no one knew was going to be good, and through two starts, Tatro gives me a little bit of hope that maybe they have unearthed the gem.
You said it very well. I mean, listen, it sounds laughable and obvious to say, yeah, a guy gives up one earned run in 13 innings, and that may not be sustainable, but the part you're talking about, I think, is the thing I want to hone in on here. He is not really striking hitters out, which is something that has to change. I mean, you think of the true outcomes, you think about how that's revolutionized baseball, you think about how, you know, front offices and the guys with great calculators and pocket protectors and really thick horn-rimmed glasses have changed this game about what we sort of look for pitching. Balls in play are unpredictable. Stuff happens, man. Corkscrew ground balls that with eyes or little pop-ups that fall in, line drives that either at somebody or, you know, with a little topspin that fall in. There's a million different variables. What doesn't change are balls out of the zone and swing and miss capability. He's not missing a ton of bats at this point. Now, does that mean you can never get out to the major league level? No. I watched some of the greatest pitchers of all time do that with consistency, but that's kind of going the way of the dodo, right? The guy with pinpoint control, the Jamie Moyers, the Tom Glavins, the Greg Maddoxes, and, you know, a million other guys could get outs at the highest levels by mixing, changing speeds, and the like, just inducing weak contact. Hitters are so good, and pitching has kind of risen to meet that. But back to Tatro himself, it's hard not to be impressed. I mean, there are guys sometimes that can't deal with the bright lights and the adversity that knocks you down a peg. I feel bad for Yoan Adone, for example. He shouldn't have been in the major leagues, but he was going out there every fifth day, just wearing it, struggling, going through his developmental stuff at the highest level. You just hope that it doesn't ruin a guy. Tatro, his first outing, he struck out Ronald Acuna and then gave up 217 base hits in four innings, numbers approximate. But the bounce back since then, to believe in yourself, the confidence, take that ball again 4 days later and shove a couple times on a couple pretty decent lineups. Hard not to be really impressed with that guy, Grant.
Yeah, and again, if you dive any deeper into the numbers, you'll find some things that'll worry you plenty in the sense that, so he's been called up, right, for three starts. About 90% of the pitches he's thrown are fastballs or cut fastballs. Like, that isn't going to do it. You can't, unless you're a reliever right, who's throwing one inning at a time, you're never going to be able to succeed over the course of a season, in my opinion, doing that. 60% four-seamers, 29% cut fastballs. He's thrown 8% of his pitches as curveballs. Savant's got him at 22 curveballs so far. And 10 changeups, all of them to left-handed batters. And that is roughly about, again, like 4% of his pitches. So you're talking about almost 90% of what he's thrown, four-seam or cut fastballs. So that'll catch up to you. The repertoire needs work, obviously. If you're looking at some of the metrics on the fastball, the velocity's average is almost 95, which, again,
that's something.
Is firm and it works at this level if you're locating. Compared to what he was a few years ago, it's massively improved. But that is, and this just speaks to baseball now, 30th percentile among fastball velocities in this sport right now.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
By the way, I do this old man thing all the time, right? Even though I know that it is, I'm aware of the information,
yeah,
everything you're saying is correct, I can't get over that.
It's
just because of the game I grew up with. It's so different.
94 point and something, you know, and change. I think it's 94.6 or something. 30th percentile in fastball velocity. And that works if we've talked a lot about a pitcher that I love in the Nats minor league system who should be in the big league soon, Matt Cronin, who they drafted in the fourth round, who has a Sean Doolittle, like, you know, 94-95, top of the zone with a super high spin rate. So it actually sustains itself and it looks faster. Well, his fastball spin rate is in the 9th percentile in baseball. So, I mean, these types of things, when we're really looking into what is he ultimately, like, I don't want anyone getting ahead of themselves or getting overly excited, but the bottom line is he looks like he could be an option in the major leagues. Maybe you can slot him in to this rotation at some point. You know, when you're throwing with the stuff that he is, now it's about tweaking things and getting some big league coaching and development, and maybe he becomes something. We should have a quick conversation on spin rate just to kind of further educate people a little bit on something that gets talked about a lot. So the way I always talk about spin rate to make it make more sense is if someone's throwing 93 with a low spin rate versus 93 with a high spin rate, the velocity on the pitch is the exact same. However, the 93 with the higher spin rate is going to be a much more effective pitch because that 93 sustains itself at the strike zone. In other words, the gravity that we deal with on Earth pulls the ball down a little bit as best it can as that ball's soaring toward home plate. Well, if you have a lower spin rate, that ball is going to naturally be falling into the sweet spot of the strike zone if you're pitching at the top of the zone or into the bat as you're trying to swing and hit a baseball. A higher spin rate looks to the batter's eye in the batter's box as if it is rising like you hear about in softball.
That's
when
right.
It gets to the strike zone. So if I'm standing in the batter's box and I'm facing 93 low spin rate, 8th percentile, Jackson Tatro, or 93 high spin rate, 95th percentile, let's say, Corbin Burns or one of these guys, the fastball at the exact same velocity becomes way harder to hit, not only because of the natural mechanics of the swing and where you're trying to square up a baseball, but because it looks as if the ball is rising. And it's not. It's obviously just staying on that plane. But it isn't naturally falling off narrowly. So at the exact same speed, the effectiveness of the pitch becomes substantially more prolific. And really, that's why we're looking for spin rate. It's why people care about that as a metric.
First of all, that's an outstanding summary. Second of all, it's so funny how the chess match happened, right? Every pitcher since the dawn of time, and you know, up until 5-6 years ago, was told to get the ball down, work down, 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 down. Well, hitters heard that too. And every hitter basically came up with a way to drive low pitching. Hitters became low ball hitters. It was basically if you threw a ball at the bottom of the zone, you were talking a high ground ball percentage. Now, guys are getting on plane. Hitters have become so advanced. We know so much about biomechanics that the opening for so many guys, think about someone like Cody Bellinger. Guy was a MVP, hitting over 300 with close to 50 bombs, I think, in a season. Now you throw him a high fastball, he's out. He's a 200 hitter that just because the whole league throws hard enough to sort of deal with it. And now he's nowhere near as effective as he was a couple years ago. Hitters are designed in so many different ways to hit that low pitch, right? So the response has been to sort of get into the lab and figure out the thing that you're talking about. A ball is thrown with contact on the four seams. Okay, so an individual's fingers will cut across four seams, and that cut as the ball releases from your fingertips with straight up backspin has less influence from air, has less influence from gravity. And you're right, it's an optical illusion. It looks like it explodes on you, it looks like it hydroplanes, it takes off when all it's really doing is staying straighter for longer. And that's conversely, sort of compared to the way sinkers, two seamers, kind of the cutters, these optical illusions that are really, really hard to hit. And all of a sudden, that 93 with that great spin rate again, if you're talking about something that Max Scherzer is a master at this, so is Trevor Bauer, for the record, is tunneling your pitches. You make everything look the exact same until it changes direction. One goes left, one goes down, one goes right, some go up, and it makes it damn near impossible. You got to guess right and have an anticipation with where your bat is. That's what makes some of these guys so damn successful. So 93 can play like 105 if you throw in a guy a slider that wipes off the table or a changeup that kind of dies or even a good solid sinker ball, which just doesn't have the same spin rate and gravity does affect it. It's fascinating the way these guys get in the lab and do this. Now he's got the arm strength, talking about Tatro. He's got the ability to push 94, 95 miles an hour. What's next, right? Because you can't get away with these kind of metrics and get major league hitters out consistently.
And the only other thing I would say real quick on spin rate before we move on is, while I'm sure a lot of old school people or people that don't believe in any of the analytics or like any of that stuff, which I don't really get those folks, but whatever, it's just information. They will say, oh, how's his spin rate? In kind of this mocking way. We have tried to quantify this forever. We just weren't able to.
Yep.
Like hitters anecdotally have stood in the box and said, his fastball jumps on you, or these baseball terms you hear, like he's deceptive, it's 94, but it's hard to catch up to. That's what you've heard since you were a kid. That's spin rate, basically, is what we're saying. I mean, that this is now, not one-to-one, but, you know, there can be guys with low spin rates who are ultra-deceptive or you can't see the ball and then it's at-home plate, or maybe they've got extension or more plane because they're taller. I mean, there's different things that go into it.
Absolutely.
But we're just trying to quantify things that we've actually known for a long time and the numbers hadn't caught up. And then teams started to be able to see some of these things, the Rays and the Astros and some of these advanced clubs. And now with sites like Baseball Savant and others, you know, fan graphs and all these other things, we have all of this at our disposal as well. Brooks Baseball, you can log in and find anything you want as fans. So now it's about learning how to use it, and it's kind of what I'm always trying to do, is asking people that are a lot smarter than me, okay, what does this actually mean? How do I use this to learn? What does this number tell me? I wanted to talk about the lack of power for the Nationals really quickly. In the last calendar week, they've hit 2 home runs by my count. Nelson Cruz has one and Lane Thomas has one. As a team on the year, they have 59 home runs. Aaron Judge,
I think that's Aaron Judge's total.
56. He actually is creeping up on 30, frankly. But the Yankees as a team have 121. The Braves were just here. They homered 11 times in the 2 games I was at in 2 straight nights. 11 times. That, again, roughly is, it's like over a fifth of the Nationals' home run total this year in those 2 games I was at. The lack of power is stunning, especially when you've got a guy in Soto who's on pace to hit 30-plus. So you take him out of the equation, man, is it slim pickings. You get a few from Bell, you get a few from Cruz. Lane Thomas has swung for the fences. But like, they were at a time where there were, I think, 3 guys who like qualified in baseball playing every day through 40 games or something like that who didn't have a homer. Cesar Hernandez was one. Alcides Escobar was another. Like, they've got guys that don't homer. As good a year as Keibert Ruiz is having, only a couple home runs behind the plate. So if you're looking at team totals, Danny, Yankees 121, Braves 110, Astros 99, some of the tops in baseball. The Tigers have 41, which is staggeringly low. I mean, that's 11 or so more than Aaron Judge, basically. The Nats have 59. Just something to keep in mind as you watch them. They are not a threat to leave the park very often.
Yeah, that's why you've seen some inconsistency in the offense. They've had big crooked number games where, you know, everybody hits, the merry-go-round continues, and it's a nice thing. I mean, look at, you know, we're recording this here on Monday, Sunday's game. They had a bunch of hits early on in that ballgame. But when you don't hit the ball over the fence consistently, that's now your most premium, consistent way to score runs, right? Because as we were just talking about for the first, you know, several minutes of the show, pitching is better than it's ever been, and it's not close. The stuff these guys have is patently absurd. So good luck trying to get double-digit hits every night and playing small ball and moving runners up. You got to get one crooked number. Somebody's got to leave the yard. You guess right, you get one, and that's that. The guy that's really, I think, hurt them, and you mentioned him, hey, he has a homer this week, which is really good, but Nelson Cruz, you're counting on him for 10 more than he had at this point. Hitting in a pretty good spot in the order with a couple guys that have swung it well. Josh Bell's been consistent, right around 300 with, you know, his 11 homers. Juan Soto's going to be on base a billion times in front of you. He's getting pitches. He's getting his opportunities, and he hasn't converted. I think that's been a real killer for them in terms of home run totals. Obviously, he's not going to put you up with the Yankees well over 100 at this point, but you shouldn't be fifth or sixth last in the league with a guy like Nelson Cruz who's got such a great track record.
Soto, by the way, going into the week, I think has 13 more walks than anybody else in baseball.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's insane.
Yes, it is.
Now, I know that doesn't butter your bread and isn't necessarily going to, you know, have you running out to buy a jersey, but it is a skill, right? He's got this unbelievable batter's eye, and part of it is he gets pitched around in this lineup, clearly. But you have to take your walks. That's a skill. Remember Bryce Harper, who's a multi-time MVP, would have won a third MVP possibly this year if he didn't just break his thumb this week with the Phillies. You know, he couldn't take his walks. He would get out of rhythm, and he would get into these month-long funks because Joe Maddon or some smart manager would basically say, we're not pitching to him to this series, he's red hot. And he would start swinging at balls, and next thing you know, with his complicated swing, he'd be hitting 176 for 5 weeks. Soto doesn't really do that, and it's always been what amazes me about him. He actually does take his walks. To your point, he is on base plenty for the Mashers behind him. You mentioned Josh Bell. We should give him a little love. They're about to play the Pirates, is the team he came from. Bell obviously going to be traded, I would say, this year by the Nationals. I still hope after they trade him that they go back this offseason, and he's a Boris guy, but get with him, get with Scott Boris, and try to bring him back here. I think he's a great fit in D.C. with what they're trying to do organizationally. He can play here. It's comfortable here. He likes it in the ballpark, and he's become a fixture in the clubhouse and in the community. So I want him to be here long term, but you got to get something for him. This trade deadline, he is hitting .308 with 11 homers and 46 RBI and .882 OPS. I mean, if he's red hot right now. If he stays hot, though, going into mid-July, you know, the last week he's hitting .400. The last 15 games he's hitting .333. The last 30 games he's hitting .327. Josh Bell could be one of the best available hitters on the market. Remember, he's a switch hitter. I know he's pretty much first base or bust defensively, and it's not a particularly great first base. But with everyone having a DH now on a team that just needs a middle-of-the-order impact bat, to bring in a switch-hitting DH gives them even more value. They're not going to get an elite prospect for him, but they could do really, really well for Josh Bell, even in a suppressed market at this point.
And he doesn't kill you from – it's not one side is that much better than the other either. He takes his base hits from both. I mean, smaller sample hitting right-handed, obviously, against lefties, but he's been a 280 hitter, I think, with an OPS well over 800 on that side of the plate. Watching him take his base hits instead of just trying to jump yard has been fascinating. I mean, this is someone that big and that strong, you usually think, okay, that's going to be Adam Dunn type stuff, right? Where it's just all or nothing, a lot of 1-for-5 with, you know, hitting 200, but with 35, 40 homers. He's on pace for low 20s, but as you mentioned it, he's just sometimes not trying to do too much, just sort of flicking the bat, because again, he's that big and strong, taking his lower half out of it and just, you know, poking base hits into different parts of the ballpark. He's been really, really impressive as that kind of a hitter, kind of finding himself, coming into his own for what he is. I'm sure someone that's that big and strong, everybody been yelling at him to, you know, drop and drive, get big, you know, hit more fly balls, walls, you know, it doesn't matter if they're wall scrapers, you got so much power. I think this is the best version of himself, a guy that doesn't try to do too much and maybe takes more base hits than you think.
And he's done this before, remember. He had a year where he was an all-star and one of the better hitters in the league at times with the Pirates, and he was a stud. So we have seen this version of him. He's an outstanding bat. I mean, he really is. And my hope is that they can do well in a return. One other thing I wanted to mention before we get to our Jackson Tatro interview here on Bustin' Loose Baseball, talking to the 26-year-old arm who's made a couple strong starts in a row for the Nationals. I wanted to commend Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, who announced on Monday that he was inviting Davey Martinez to be on his staff for the All-Star game in L.A. in July. Remember, this was a story last summer. So Davey would have gotten to be the All-Star game manager in 2020. That's what happens when you win the World Series. And the Nats were robbed of pretty much everything cool that you get from winning the World Series because of the COVID pandemic that rummaged and ruined the baseball season in 2020. And one of the side effects for Davey Martinez individually was that he did not get to manage in the All-Star game. So then when Dave Roberts announced his staff last year, a lot of people expected that he would put Davey Martinez on the staff as just kind of a make good and a nice gesture. And I don't remember the specifics of why it didn't happen, but it didn't happen, and it was a story after the fact. Well, Brian Snitker, who seems like a really good dude, manager of the defending champion Braves, who are on fire, is managing the National League version of the All-Star team this year, and he told Davey Martinez he wants him on his staff. Now, when MLB announced this on Monday, they didn't say directly that that was why, but I'll bet you that's exactly what's happening, is he wants to give Davey his chance to do something that was earned, that he didn't get in 2020. So it's a big deal for Martinez, I'm sure. It's got to be a really, really cool honor. I would have to imagine, we haven't heard anything yet, but that he would take him up on that offer and go out to L.A. and hang out with some of the game's best. But good on Snitker. What a cool gesture.
Yeah, tip of the cap. That's really cool. I just saw that as you were talking. That's a neat thing, man. Because we talk about this all the time as it affects Nats ownership and, you know, really the fans, and just this whole organization was robbed of what should have been that, you know, victory tour, of that really overly joyous thing that comes from basking in a World Series. And that's just one other thing. That's just one other element on that heap, on that big pile of what was taken away from us in 2020. I know it's not as significant as real world stuff, but in terms of sports tragedies, yeah, it's right in there, man. It's a bummer. So good on Snitker for giving Davey that nod.
All right, without further ado, let's let you hear our interview with Jackson Tatro. He is the young starter who's made quality starts back-to-back for the Nationals. Finally, something fun and young to root for in this rotation. Here he was here on Bustin' Loose Baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.